Welcome to Dating and Other Fucked Up Stories. I'm your host, Rachel Ash. If you enjoy this episode today, feel free to send it to a friend in need. If you are listening on Apple, take a moment to write a review. I truly appreciate all of you. You all help keep this podcast alive. If you have any questions or your own fucked up story to share, feel free to slide into my DMs at datingpodcast. To help us grow, click on the Support the Show link in the description of this episode. By supporting us, you help us expand our content and upgrade the show. Get early access to episodes and exclusive perks. Subscribe now on Patreon. The Tin Man, Part 2. My body is a cage that keeps me from dancing with the one I love. But my mind holds the key. I'm standing on a stage of fear and self-doubt. It's a hollow play, but they'll clap anyway. My Body is a Cage is a song by Arcade Fire that reminds me of that summer of 2021 when I met him, the Tin Man. It's dark, it's sexy, it's complicated, it's appropriate. It's funny how a song can pop up on your Spotify playlist and instantly transport you to a different time in your life. This was my hot girl summer era. Even now, as I sit here at my favorite coffee shop listening to this song, I remember everything. I close my eyes, the chorus kicks in, I open my eyes, and I'm suddenly back to that place in October 2021. "You're not a priority to me," he said coldly. There was a long silence. I sat there, the phone to my ear, sitting on the pavement outside my apartment, just staring at the plot of grass across the street. I didn't blink. I didn't breathe. I couldn't. I couldn't understand how any human being could be so unkind as to tell me without hesitation that I was so unimportant and insignificant to them. It was a tough pill to swallow, but I did. For 53 grueling minutes over the phone. I didn't understand. When we were together and he held my face in his hands and he kissed me passionately, it meant nothing? When he made love to me for hours, making sure not to climax before me, that meant nothing? When he reached out and held my hand tenderly every time we were in public, that meant nothing? At times when he would stop in the middle of the street, gaze into my eyes and pull me in closely for a soft, romantic kiss. That was nothing? I truly could say nothing. I was in so much pain. It was numbing. This was the man I had been dating the last 12 weeks, the Tin Man, the man with no heart. It was as though him and I spoke two different languages. I was speaking English and he was speaking binary. I was dating a techie, but I didn't realize I had actually been seeing Alexa the entire time. "Hey Alexa, do you have feelings for me?" "Feelings? What is that? The temperature outside in Fort Lauderdale is 83 degrees with a 30% chance of rain." "No, Alexa, do you love me?" "What is love? Baby, don't hurt me. Don't hurt me no more. Is a song by Hathaway from 1993. Holy shit. How do we even get to this? Who was the Tin Man? The Tin Man was a transplant from New York City. He, like most Northeasterners, flocked down here to South Florida to escape the city during COVID. He worked for Rolling Stone magazine online, but was let go in 2017. After this, he and a friend decided to take the plunge into entrepreneurship. They built a software website development company, and because of the nature of the business, he and his business partner could work remotely from anywhere. And when COVID struck, the Tin Man ventured here to Fort Lauderdale. His co-founder went to Austin, Texas, another state that didn't have state income tax. Texas and Florida favor businesses. It's why so many companies have moved their businesses to these states recently. Less taxes. The Tin Man had been in a serious relationship for 12 years. This was very similar to my relationship history. I had been with the same man for 17 years. The difference being the Tin Man never got married. He never divulged into much detail about his ex to me, though. A few fun facts to know about the Tin Man. His favorite wine was Pinot Grigio. I know, it's odd. I thought Pinot Grigio was exclusive to the Old Wives Club of Connecticut. Apparently not. I mean, his family is from Connecticut, so maybe that was the link? He hated most desserts. Actually, a lot of guys are not fans of sweets. The reason I know this is because I'm a pretty fantastic baker. I like to bake for people, especially the people I like. It gives me satisfaction to see someone enjoying my baked goods. The only thing the Tin Man enjoyed was blueberry desserts. It was so specific. I know, right? So I made him blueberry squares, and he loved them. His nickname before the Tin Man was Vodka Soda Splash of Cranberry. Kashelli, my mixology friend, actually coined this name for him, and it was so fitting because it was a fuckboy drink with a splash of basic bitch. The way this name came about was because a few years ago, I was taking a mixology class with Cocktails Uncultured at my apartment. I had booked a date with the Tin Man for directly after the class. Well, the cocktail making class ran late because we were half drunk and shooting the shit with each other. And the time came for the date, and the Tin Man shows up at the door. And this was the beginning of us dating, mind you. So then I had to introduce him to my friends, and normally I wouldn't. I introduced him and then asked if he wanted a drink. And my friends asked him what he usually drank, and he said, vodka soda, splash of cranberry. And when he said this, I kind of laughed a little and showed him what we were making. And one of the drinks was a classic margarita. No sour mix, of course. Freshly squeezed lime juice. The Tin Man and I made the margaritas together with the coaching of Cocktails Uncultured. And let me tell you, the look on the Tin Man's face when he took his first sip of that cocktail was priceless. He became a margarita lover in that moment. He would go to El Camino all the time and order margaritas after that. I inspired him so much that he bought an entire bar kit so he could make craft cocktails at home. The Tin Man and I dated for about 3 months. It was casual dating, according to him. We were not exclusive yet. We were enjoying each other's company and seeing where it led to. One date, we were sitting on the beach watching the waves and sipping on Pinot Grigio. I mustered up the confidence to ask him what he was looking for, because we had never had that conversation. And the clouds were a light shade of gray. The sun had left us. And he responded with what seemed like an exact excerpt from my book at the time. He responded with, looking to meet new people and have new experiences. This is what I was looking for as well. I was newly divorced, and I wanted to explore. This is what I thought I wanted. Meeting new people and having new experiences was great. It just got to a point where I felt like I wanted more. And every time we saw each other, it felt like we were bonding. The hits of dopamine we would get after sex didn't help. He was my drug, and I needed him. To catch you all up if you missed the previous episode, the Tin Man and I met at the Wharf on July 25th. Yes, July 25th. We would joke lovingly that we met on Christmas in July. In fact, in the wee hours of the night we met that Saturday, the Tin Man came home with me. No, we didn't hook up. We were both mildly drunk and wanted to spend more time together. He came back to my place, we had pizza, and we fell asleep next to each other talking. The next morning, we went to breakfast together at Java and Jam. I guess that was technically our first date, and we hit it off. And we still didn't want to end our time together, so we went back to his house and spent the majority of Sunday together. When I arrived with him at his house that Sunday, we continued our conversation on the couch. The conversation turned to occasional kisses. We both couldn't stop smiling. Then I made the comment that we had met each other on July 25th. Christmas in July. We met on Christmas. Then he smiled brightly and told me how much he loved Christmas. He took out his phone, hit play, and the stereo started playing Christmas music. And this excited me. We snuggled up close on the couch with each other. Then there was a knock at the door. I sat up quickly. It was Sunday. I didn't know there were deliveries on Sundays. Oh, it's Amazon. What was in the package? The Tin Man opened the package in front of me, and it was a huge box of condoms. I started dying laughing. Santa delivered your Christmas gift, I joked. Just in time. Just kidding. He smiled and then came back to sit next to me on the couch. At this point, Bing Crosby's White Christmas was playing in the background. We began making out, then stopped and looked at each other. It really did feel like Christmas. Then we both got up and he led me into the bedroom. And we made love that afternoon. And it was incredible. He was so attentive. He made sure to pleasure me first. He wanted to make sure I orgasmed. It was important to him. Anytime we were having sex, he made sure I always was fully satisfied. It was something I loved about him. He cared about my experience. It's true I only knew the Tin Man for less than a day, and we were already getting so intimate. It was out of my character, but it just felt natural. So I went for it. Talk about afternoon delight. And we continued to date for weeks after that. It was definitely not a one-night stand, or in this case, a one-afternoon stand. What was particularly strange about my dates with the Tin Man was that he would only ever make dates with me for Mondays or Tuesdays. I didn't understand why he wasn't planning dates for the weekend. Then I asked him, and he said weekends were for his friends. Listen, at the time, I was a beginner to dating. I didn't understand that there was something called a Monday-Tuesday girl. When a guy wants to just keep you around, he gives you a Monday or a Tuesday. But then, on the weekends, he will go out with friends to try to hook up with women. And it's not putting you on the bench, but it's keeping you on the roster. Disgusting thought, right? Well, I didn't know any better. One of the Tuesday dates we had was at Glitch Bar for trivia night, and they put on Jackbox. At one point, the Tin Man left for a minute to get refills on our beers. That's when two guys approached my table and started hitting on me. And one was from Atlanta. He had come to Doral for a wedding at the Trump Doral. And as they were talking to me, the Tin Man looked over from the bar and saw what was going on. I slowly looked back at him. I'm not going to pretend I didn't like it. I liked him seeing how desired I was by these other men. It turned me on. I wondered if it turned him on too. The Tin Man walked back over to the table, leaned in, and placed my drink down in front of me. The guys looked at us. We looked back at them. No one was talking. I tried to continue the conversation, but in the blink of an eye, the guys were gone. They literally ran out of the bar when they saw the Tin Man, which is kind of crazy. I mean, the Tin Man did run marathons, but he wasn't buff or anything. Every date we went on, it felt as though the Tin Man and I were getting closer to each other. It wasn't until that day outside of Coconuts on the Intracoastal that I realized how different our perspectives were. And this is where the previous episode began. Sitting there with the view of the sunset hitting the beautiful yacht-soaked waters of the Fort Lauderdale Intracoastal, I found myself playing with my ring nervously in my lap. Across from me was my date watching me intensely. He was waiting for my reaction. "Your eyes are dilated," he said. "What?" "Your eyes are dilated," he repeated. "What does that mean?" I asked. "It means something is making you very nervous. It's a fight or flight response," he said. I looked at him shocked. What was this guy doing? Analyzing me? It made me even more uncomfortable that he said this. "Actually, I thought it meant you were attracted to someone or something," I said with a smile on my face. "Not in this case," he said, still watching me intently. I want you to feel like you can talk to me, he said after a few moments of us staring back and forth at each other. Damn. My eyes ventured safely to my melting Shirley Temple. After this intense Labor Day weekend, I had decided not to drink at all this week. And this conversation, however, needed a glass of whiskey. A double, maybe. I took a deep breath, closed my eyes, and drew upon the gods to help me find the courage to say the words I so desperately needed to say. Up until this moment of my year and a half of dating, I had never gotten this far with anyone. What are we? I asked, fearing the response. It's like I already knew what he was going to say before he even said it. But I had to know, nonetheless. We are casually dating, he answered without hesitation. His eyes stayed fixed on me without blinking. What does that mean exactly? I wanted clarification. It means we're not exclusively dating. We are free to meet other people. I'm not looking for anything else, he clarified. What does casual dating mean when it comes to intimacy, sex? I asked out of breath with slight hesitation. I wasn't breathing properly. Well, I would hope you'd be wearing condoms. We're not exclusive, he replied. Oh, I said, with nearly all the air knocked out of me. I was deflated. It was like he smacked me across the face with his words. Hope you would be wearing condoms. That's a disgusting thing to say to someone you are dating. And to anyone, really. I did not get out of the chair like I should have. I stayed there, soaked up the toxic words he had just shot me up with. He knew I was upset, but we talked through it, and it was so intense, but we pushed through it. In fact, it felt like it made us even closer. Even though the entire thing was unsettling, I did understand because I saw him. I saw who he really was and could be, and I know it wasn't just me. That conversation changed us. Even though he was telling me, I don't want a relationship with you, he was getting even closer to me intimately. He was building, and he didn't even realize that it was unconscious on his part. Instead of running, I tried to win him over, convince him of more, because I had this illusion that deep down he really wanted to be in a committed relationship. It was delusional. It was my own ego trying to preserve itself, you see. We do that. We sometimes unconsciously bend reality to protect our vanity. I felt even closer to him. We left the restaurant holding each other's hands tightly. We turned to each other and kissed each other passionately. It was perfect. It was everything I wanted it to be. It was everything I was looking for the past year and a half, an intimate connection with a man. I needed it. I had been searching for it, and even though I knew it was going to disappear by the end of the night, I wanted to enjoy the feeling even just for a few hours. Feeling that affection, closeness, and support of another human being. It was the best feeling in the world. We walked to the beach. It was nighttime now. I took off my white heels and put my feet in the sand. He followed, smiling, and took my hand as I pulled him towards me. Walking up and down Fort Lauderdale Beach, we listened to the waves hit the shore. We danced. I built a sand hill so I could step up and kiss him easier. He was taller than me, 6 foot to my 5'4". He laughed and brought me in for a kiss. It was romantic. The chemistry was undeniable. We had built up so much tension on that beach. I needed him, and he needed me. He kissed me softly again, and then ordered an Uber back to my apartment. In the Uber, we couldn't keep our hands off each other. There was an undeniable spark. He put his hand on my leg. I looked at him and then quickly looked forward. He pulled me closer, keeping his hand on my leg. Then he slid his hand up my dress and moved his fingers over the top of my sheer black underwear. It felt so damn good. I kept looking forward like nothing was happening, but the desire was building. I wanted him. I wanted him right now. We got back to my apartment. I dimmed the lights, lit a candle, and we slowly made love. He was always so attentive. He knew exactly how to send me into an earth-shattering orgasm. I laid there immobilized for a good minute afterward. He was so in tune with me. When I would orgasm, he would roll over and let me enjoy it entirely before he continued with his own. It was the sex equivalent to holding the door for someone. It was gentlemanly. The afterglow this time was brighter than usual. I mounted him, held his face between my hands, and kissed him lovingly. I was so grateful to be with him. As he entered me again, it was even more sensitive. The sex was electrifying. I had never felt that before. I could have fucked him all night. It was the best feeling in the world. And he felt it. I felt it. It was just right. It was right. As he released, I looked up into his eyes and held his body closely. He breathed deeply. He stayed inside me longer than usual. We were connected completely, emotionally and physically. I didn't want him to leave. This was the man I wanted to be with. This was the man I had seen the whole time. And it was beautiful to see the gates lifted and him be vulnerable for me. He was amazing. And in that moment, he was the man I thought he was. He even brought my hand to his chest so I could feel how fast his heart was beating. It was endearing. Then I watched in a daze as this delicate soul slowly built the gates up again. He rolled over and drifted to sleep. I continued to see the Tin Man right up until the 3-month mark. That's when it all imploded. It was October 14th, 2021. We were texting about movies. It was a fluid text. He would respond within a few seconds. I mentioned one of my favorite Tarantino films was Death Proof, and he said he had never heard of it. Then I sent this text. Just got out of urgent care. COVID-19 negative. Strep negative. I woke up pretty sick today. Glad they prescribed me Augmentin. That should do the trick. And he didn't text back for 6 or 7 hours after I said I was sick. And keep in mind, we were having a fluid conversation before I said I was sick. I'm not sure really what I expected. I just wasn't expecting to be ghosted after I said I was sick. When he finally did text back 7 hours later, I told him I wanted to talk on the phone. Once the conversation started on the phone, I flat out asked him, "How do you feel about me?" He replied, "I don't know how I feel about you." "What do you mean?" I asked. "We've been seeing each other for 3 months." "I don't know how I feel about you," he repeated. "I don't understand. Are you like this in business as well, indecisive? How do you not know?" I asked. Then he said, "I can't be in a relationship. It would be detrimental for me. For instance, today, when you said you were sick, as your boyfriend, I would feel obligated to bring you chicken soup." I sat there on the phone, shocked at what he had just said to me. Detrimental to be in a relationship? I mean, we pretty much already were in a relationship. It may not have been an exclusive relationship, but it was definitely a relationship. And I never even asked him to bring me soup. I asked nothing of him. I guess my mistake was expecting him to be a human. There are people I barely know who would volunteer to bring me chicken soup, or at the very least, check in and ask me how I'm feeling. It wasn't even about the fictitious soup I never asked for. It was the complete lack of compassion and care that he showed me. He was so afraid to love and be loved. His prior relationship had been so damaging that he had developed philophobia, a fear of falling in love. And instead of working through the trauma, it was easier to run from it. And that's probably why he ran so many marathons. He was running from himself and the trauma. At the end of our phone conversation, we both agreed to stop seeing each other. He wanted to just casually have sex and occasionally have the girlfriend experience with me. But after dating him, I realized I wanted a partner. I deserved to be with a man who loved me. We simply were not aligned anymore. In The Wizard of Oz, the Tin Man is kind and gentle, but lacks a heart. He is unable to feel emotions. In this case, I was Dorothy trying to help him find a heart so he could love again.
There you have it. Until next story, this is Rachel Ash signing off.